Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Wednesday, January 27th. Hope wherever you are, wherever you're listening, you are having a great start to your day. Obviously, it is yet another day in which the Grizzlies are supposed to play basketball, but unfortunately, we still are in a bit of a waiting game to see when their next game will actually be. The hope was earlier this week that the Grizzlies, there were indications that they would be able to get back on track this upcoming Saturday as they head to face back-to-back games in San Antonio against the Spurs, but obviously also from earlier this week, a bit of fallout from a Spurs-Pelicans matchup in which both teams were in the midst of their own contact tracing. So it will be interesting to see how everything plays out. Hopefully, stuff will obviously get back on track, but that doesn't mean we don't have plenty to discuss, obviously, when it comes to the Grizzlies, and that includes today's episode here on Locked On Grizzlies. In today's show, I'm going to detail if and when the Grizzlies look to make that next significant trade. Me and Mark King, former host of Locked On Grizzlies, discuss some names and the whens and whys of, you know, when a deal may make sense. But what about the how? How would the Grizzlies put a deal together? That's what I'm going to detail today. In the first segment, we'll talk about how the Grizzlies really stand out as a potential trading partner for many NBA teams due to the picks that they have. We'll also, in the second and third segment, talk about, when it comes to their current roster, how the Grizzlies have depth and a quantity of options that they could use in the right deals that many other teams may not have. The goal of the show is today is to simply show how the Grizzlies, a lot like other teams have been able to do in the recent past, to show that the Grizzlies are actually in a strong position to, when they decide that they want to make a move, they certainly can. Of course, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the show wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. Wherever you find podcasts, Locked On Grizzlies will be there, and we're there for you. Whatever news breaks, whenever news needs to be discussed, and whenever news needs to be analyzed, that's the purpose of us being here. My name is Sean Coleman. I've been covering the Grizzlies for nearly 3 years now via writing over at Grizzly Bear Blues. I've been doing podcasts for a few years now. Enjoy every single minute I get to do it because it allows for me to do several passions of mine at once: the NBA, the Grizzlies, you know, talking about sports, analyzing sports. And the biggest part of it all is I get to do it by interacting with other people who I share passions with. So thank you for making us a part of your day. So obviously, as we saw last night, the Washington Wizards are now 3-12 on the season. And a lot like the Memphis Grizzlies, they have experienced their own, you know, interruption in the season due to COVID. But of course, the lasting images that came out from last night were that Bradley Beal, who we all know for years now has certainly been a very, very, you know, focused topic of discussion when it comes to trades, a player who, despite the advice, I guess you could say, of many, has shown loyalty to the Washington Wizards, showed loyalty to teammate John Wall and an organization that, you know, a lot like the older Grizzlies, just has not shown a lot of competence. You know, it was clear that Bradley Beal was just not in a good place last night, as the Wizards once again showed how far away they are from truly being considered a contender. So it seems now, more than ever, that the time has come for the Wizards and Bradley Beal to really look at the opportunity of parting ways. And of course, when that comes, you know, with that being said, it's been years now that the Grizzlies have been discussed ever since they drafted Ja Morant. They started having success last year. You know, people were looking forward to the future, to when the Grizzlies could potentially get a current star to match with their young core. And so obviously there's been talk over the past few weeks. It's only going to increase, as it's more evident now than ever, that a trade for Bradley Beal makes sense. But the goal of this show is not to discuss whether or not the Grizzlies should go for a Bradley Beal or a Zach LaVine or something like that. There's a lot of debate that can happen. If you want a little bit of that debate, go back to the show last week where me and Mark King discussed that in detail. But the goal of the show today is to say, okay, if the Grizzlies were to seriously consider going after a player of Bradley Beal's stature, would they have the means, would they have the goods to go get that player? Especially considering that many other teams, like the Dallas Mavericks, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Atlanta Hawks, these other teams that are out there with young cores that have multiple playoff, you know, appearances in the near future on their minds, How could the Grizzlies stack up against those teams in pursuing that type of trade target? Well, the good news is that the Grizzlies actually compare pretty favorably. One of the main reasons why can be seen from the recent past in the NBA, in which there have been several deals that have been put together in which a team that is going after a star has to offer multiple assets in multiple asset areas to get that star. The trades that come to mind are Paul George, or James Harden, or Anthony Davis, and or Jrue Holiday. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that the Grizzlies are anywhere near, nor are they anytime soon, going to go after a player of that caliber, especially being in a small market, especially with the focus of this front office, it's stayed a focus to stay on track for the future, and especially with how, you know, with it only being just a few years that the Grizzlies have actually been enjoying draft success and enjoying having control over their draft picks. But that's exactly the reason why the Grizzlies are kind of in a strong position to go after a star if they deemed it worthy. And we'll start with the draft picks. For a lot of these up-and-coming potential contenders, sustainable winners, however, whatever may have you, when you look at the Miamis, when you look at the Dallases, when you look at, you know, other teams such as that, one thing that the Grizzlies have to their advantage in any type of trade talks is the fact that they own all their picks moving forward. Through, when it comes to 2021, going forward, the Grizzlies own all their picks. Memphis, it's the Grizzlies organization itself and their fans know how important that is from the recent past. We just this past draft conveyed our 2020 pick because of a trade that we made for Jeff Green in 2015. So trust me, if there's an organization that knows the importance of controlling their own picks, it certainly is Memphis. But the thing about it is this, is that it's not only that they own their own picks, it's that they own their own picks without any type of restrictions or protections. They don't have to worry about, well, they can't trade two first-round picks in a row. They don't have to worry about potentially if their draft, you know, any type of conveyance or anything like that. They control the destiny on their own picks, and there's a lot of organizations who would love to be in Memphis's situation, who are in the same situation as Memphis, where they'd love to potentially trade for a significant talent in the near future, but they don't have the picks that a lot of that are attractive, you know, to teams that would be willing to trade stars. That is certainly an advantage for Memphis. Now, when it comes to their own picks, though, one kind of disadvantage potentially, and we hope as Grizzlies fans this is a disadvantage, is that in those four trades that I mentioned, the George, the Holiday, the Davis, and the Harden trades, the teams that were trading these stars, they focused on trading partners, on contenders, with shortened windows. When you look at the Nets, when you look at the Lakers, those two teams probably have shorter title windows, theoretical title windows, than a team like a Memphis or a Dallas or a New Orleans has. So the team that's trading the star is going to trade that star to a team that they think has a shorter title window. The reason why is because the team that's trading the star and the return that they're getting back, they want as much value in the picks that they're getting, and they want that value to last as long as it can. That's why you've seen so many of these returns when a star is traded. That's why you've seen so many of these returns. Those returns include multiple picks that are three or more years out and also future pick swaps. The team that is trading the star is making sure that it's getting from the team acquiring the star draft picks and pick swaps that will allow for the team that is trading away its star. In return, that team is getting first-round pick benefits for years to come. That is something that the Grizzlies don't really have the chance to offer, but for good reason. Unlike a lot of other teams, where the Grizzlies' core is so young, with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Ja Morant being 21, Brandon Clark being 24, and you know the rest of their team also being young as well, the hope is that the Grizzlies' own picks, they actually become less valuable as trade assets going forward because they're later in the first round due to the Grizzlies having success. success. So the thing is that when it comes to the Grizzlies draft picks, it certainly is an advantage that they do have the control over their own picks without protections. It is a bit of a disadvantage, which is fine, because a lot of these other teams that are contenders, their picks themselves in general are going to be at a disadvantage as well because they're going to be later in the first round. The hope that for the Grizzlies and their fans is that their picks will be at a bit of a disadvantage or a bit less valuable because of the Grizzlies' success on the court. But that doesn't mean that the Grizzlies own all pick, that all of the Grizzlies' picks are less than attractive. Coming up, I'll discuss one area where the Grizzlies have an advantage when it comes to their picks, as well as another advantage when it comes to their roster that really could set them apart in the potential pursuit of a star. The other thing that I certainly can tell you is that if your pursuit is to have the best of fun when it comes to watching sports, do I have a great opportunity for you? Obviously, the Super Bowl is now here. We know that both the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, and it is the day of sports that we all look forward to. The bad part is that it's the last game of football for months to come. But the thing is that there's other sports going on. You've got basketball going on. You've got hockey that started. MLB baseball is on the horizon. The UFC is offering fights left and right that certainly are attracting millions. But if your source of fun is not just watching sports, it's also profiting off of it, there's one place for you to go and one place that has you covered that we trust, and that's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. Get more of the sports news you need in less time than with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. So we discussed in the first segment when it came to the Grizzlies that the part one of them putting together a trade in which they may go after a star-level player is that they certainly have the draft assets, their own draft assets in place, which obviously any team trading a star is going to focus on. The one thing, though, is that while an advantage is that the Grizzlies have control over their own picks. They don't have any protections or restrictions that have to be considered. However, one thing that the Grizzlies have in their place that other teams may not is that with how young their core is, the Grizzlies have a very good chance that as we go forward into this decade, their picks become less valuable. And that's certainly, you know, the hope of the Grizzlies and their fans. You know, for a lot of these younger teams that are hoping to be winners, their own picks are going to be less valuable. But the one thing that the Grizzlies do have that is a bit of an advantage against other teams is that they also own they own a future pick of the Utah Jazz as well as a future pick of the Golden State Warriors. And so those two picks actually are significant because over the next 5 years, those two picks could potentially be two of the more valuable picks for the Grizzlies. Say the Grizzlies were to start making the playoffs next year and that they were to, and that would be the first of many playoffs that they make over this next decade. Well, Utah is having a very good season this year, eventually in the near future, they're going to see several of the parts right now that are doing well for them potentially be on their way out. They're going to see a lot of changes in support of Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert over the next few years. Now, with that duo itself, Utah probably still stays in playoff contention. But there is certainly the potential that over the next few years after this one, there may be a year of struggle, and that may lead to them being out of the playoffs. Well, the Grizzlies own the first round pick of the Utah Jazz going forward, and it has protections and restrictions on it similar to what the Grizzlies pick had for Boston over the past few years. For the Utah pick, here's how the protections play out. If the Utah pick were to fall either in spots 1 through 7 or 15 through 30, they get it conveys like base or excuse me, they get to keep the pick. However, after that, unless the pick falls in the first 6 selections of the 2022 draft, the Grizzlies get that pick. If it were to fall in those picks, then unless it falls in picks 1 through 3 of the 2023 draft, they get it in 2023. And unless it's the number one pick, they get it in 2024. So the key is that while it likely won't be in this draft, from 2022 to 2024, there is a good chance the Grizzlies are going to have another first-round pick that they're going to have at their disposal. And it could potentially be a lottery pick if you get into 2023-2024. I'm not saying it's likely, but at the very least, that's another first-round pick that by the time 2022 or 2023 comes along, there is a good chance that the Utah pick could be more advantageous than the Grizzlies pick. The better pick, though, the more advantageous pick for Memphis is the 2024 pick that they have for the Golden State Warriors. The protections on that is that if it falls outside of the top 4 picks in 2024, the Grizzlies get the pick. If it were to fall in the first 4 picks in 2024, then the Grizzlies get the pick in 2025. Now, when you look at this Warriors core, where you've got Steph Curry in his early 30s, Draymond Green in his early 30s, and Klay Thompson coming off 2 straight years worth of injuries in his early 30s, you can certainly see a year or two more of them really being in contention. But when you're talking about potentially 4 years from now, where will they be? You easily could see Golden State being a lottery pick. And because of that, that's the Grizzlies have very light protections on that first-round pick. So that is the exact type of attractive pick that teams that are wanting to get good returns for the stars that they trade are looking for. So through the Grizzlies' creativity and their ability to gain extra assets, something that we hadn't seen for over a decade before Zach Kleiman and his regime came in, they're in the position to where they not only can offer their own picks, but they also have acquired assets that allow for their potential trade packages to be different from other teams. Now, the thing is that as I mentioned, the Grizzlies are not the only team who have playoff aspirations going forward. There are several teams across the NBA who have made it a focus over the next, you know, probably 1 to 3 years to then really be in a position to hopefully be a title contender. Dallas, New Orleans, you could see Oklahoma City, especially if they do well in this upcoming draft. Especially New Orleans and Oklahoma City. When we're talking about picks, those are two teams right there that just naturally are in a better position than the Grizzlies for potential trade packages because they have bigger hauls of picks to trade. But where the Grizzlies make up a bit of ground in that sense is the fact that, okay, in the 3 parts that needs to go into a trade for a superstar, you've got the pick haul. But another part of it is that in all 4 of those trades that I mentioned for Harden, Davis, George, and Holiday, the team that was acquiring the star also had to trade controllable assets already in the NBA to get the stars that they wanted. Names such as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, all of these players have been traded in these trades where the star went to a destination, but those young players had to be traded away. When you look at Memphis, they may not have a talent that has the potential of a Gilgeous-Alexander or a Brandon Ingram. But what they do have is several options they could use that are under multiple years of control that not only could be intriguing to a team that is trading a star to Memphis, but also can help make the money match, and it also could help to mitigate some risk. Names such as Brandon Clark, names such as Dylan Brooks, names such as DeAnthony Melton, Grayson Allen, and so forth. Now, I'm not saying that the Grizzlies plan to trade these guys. The plan right now is to see how this roster plays together, and that's likely, I would give it a 99% chance, that's what's going to be the case going forward this year. But when you look at the trades that have occurred when it came to acquiring a star, and you see the type of of players that are traded along with picks to get those stars. It's players who are young enough to still offer intriguing potential, but yet also are on favorable contracts. All those names I mentioned have shown intriguing potential and are on favorable contracts. And when you compare that depth and that quantity of options to fit that part of a trade offer for a superstar for Memphis, and you compare it to what, you know, for instance, a New Orleans has, or you compare it to what a Oklahoma City has, you can see the Grizzlies, you know, quantity, their group of players, of young players on favorable assets that they could trade, being favorable. I know, for instance, that New Orleans is talking about trading Lonzo Ball. You know, you've got Jackson Hayes. You've got Nikhil Walker-Alexander. Over on Oklahoma City, you maybe have a Darius Bazley or someone along those lines. But in terms of having 3 to 4 different options that are good young talents, that are on favorable contracts, that in another situation you could see potentially blossom if given the opportunity, a lot of teams don't have the depth in that specific asset category that the Grizzlies do. So that's another reason why the Grizzlies are potentially in a favorable position when it comes to making an offer for a star-level player, is because not only can they take their picks, plus a few picks that may actually be more valuable since they're tied to teams that have shorter contention windows. That's one part of the equation. But now you throw in a couple of intriguing players on favorable contracts that a rebuilding team would love to have. And a reason why a rebuilding team would love to have those players is because it helps to mitigate the risk. When a team is acquiring a return package by trading a star, there's a lot of risk that comes with having all of your value or the majority of your value in picks. You can mitigate some of that risk by getting some interesting pieces in return as well. And that's the thing about it. That's why the Grizzlies have signed these contracts for these players, such as a Tyus Jones, such as a Dylan Brooks, such as a DeAnthony Melton. It's for them to, you know, yeah, if they work out here, great, they become bargains. But if they don't, they're potential trade fillers. And that helps with the money matching aspect of things. So in terms of the picks themselves, sure, there may be other teams out there that are attractive, but when it comes to the combination of young current NBA players on favorable contracts, plus attractive packages of picks, when you combine those two asset categories together to create a trade package for a star player, it's hard to see a lot of other teams having a better combination of that than Memphis. But that's not the only part of the equation. Those are only two parts to a three-part equation when it comes to trades in the NBA. The other part is certainly the aspect of making the money match. And once again, that's something where the Grizzlies do have options to look at. Coming up, I'll look at how the Grizzlies potentially could complete the three parts of a deal to get a star. And really, at the end of the day, how much does it make sense for Memphis to go that far with their acquisition, or are there other ways in which they can still get the significant additions they need while having assets to play with going forward? We've talked to you about it all year long in 2020, the protein bar that tastes like the candy bar, and that is Built Bar. Built Bar is a great option to add to your day. If you're staying committed to your New Year's resolution, or if you just want to start getting healthier by adding small things to your daily routine, Built Bar offers a great way to do that, as it's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's a great tasting snack that adds health benefits in an instant. You can have it in the morning for breakfast and in the afternoon as a snack before or after a workout, however you choose to enjoy it. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you'll get 20% off your next order. That's 20% off your next order from Built Bar. And the great thing is that I can tell you this with a fact. Once you make Built Bar a part of your day, it's going to be there to stay. Again, go to BuiltBar.com and get 20% off your next order from Built Bar by using the promo code Locked On. It's hard to believe it's been a year since we tragically lost Kobe Bryant. On the Rejecting the Screen podcast, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe's life and career with a two-part special this week. Hear stories you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen and listen to this week to celebrate the life of one of the NBA's all-time greats. So we've already talked about, when it comes to the Grizzlies potentially looking at that one big trade, that one big addition, the Grizzlies have a combination of pick of a quantity of the, considering the quantity of picks that they have, and not only their picks, but a future pick from Utah and a future pick from Golden State, plus young players on favorable contracts where you have enough potential to make them attractive, plus enough control to make them intriguing. the Grizzlies' ability to combine the picks that they have with the young players that they have, that certainly is two parts that come together to make a trade for a star-level player happen, as we've seen from the recent past with several trades that have happened across the NBA. But the other thing about the NBA that is unique to it versus other sports, you've got to have the money-matching aspect. If the Grizzlies wanted to trade for a Bradley Beal, or if situations were to change in Minnesota for a Karl Anthony Towns, or even for a Zach LaVine, they've got to make the money match. Well, thankfully, they do have some intriguing veteran assets that they could trade. And the great thing about it is, the one thing about it that helps the Grizzlies out, the veterans that they have, to be able to potentially discuss in a trade over the next few years, you can see reasons why these veterans could potentially become expendable, but also because these veterans, either this year or next year, are going to see their contracts be expiring, you could see these veterans also have their trade value enhanced because they're expiring contracts. So names such as Gorgui Dieng this year, Jonas Valanciunas next year, Kyle Anderson next year, even Justice Winslow or Tyus Jones next year. All those names are veterans that in time, if the Grizzlies were to have another very successful draft in 2021, that's four straight drafts where the Grizzlies had basically built themselves a core and depth. And so if that means that a few of these veterans may make sense elsewhere, well, then you could use them because they're expiring contracts in a deal to go get a star that you can have control over. Like, for instance, when it comes to a Bradley Beal, I believe that he's making around $27 to $30 million this year. You throw in a Gorgui Dieng or you throw in a Jonas Valanciunas, that immediately becomes attractive to Washington because, yeah, you're going to obviously, the main part of your offer is going to be in picks and players, but you've at least given Washington an expiring contract that they could help clear some cap space in a shorter time frame. So while every team does have veterans that they can include in a deal for money-making purpose, not every franchise has the ability to do it to where that veteran is not someone so critical to their success. Like, for instance, when you look at the Toronto Raptors. Now, I'm not saying that the Grizzlies are as good as the Raptors, but for the Raptors to make a trade for a player for them, they would have to trade either OG Anunoby, they'd have to trade Pascal Siakam. The best natural talents on their team would have to be traded to really make a move for a star. Well, with the Grizzlies, you don't have that. You're not including a Ja Morant or a Jaren Jackson Jr. You're including veterans that are not just totally critical to what the Grizzlies are going to do when they get to being a true contender. So when you see these veterans like a Jonas or a Kyle Anderson or a Gorgui Dieng, that's one instance where the Grizzlies have an advantage. They're not trading away just one of their key components to where it doesn't make sense to make a trade because you're losing the value that you're trying to gain. If the Grizzlies were to trade those veterans, it's to get a significant upgrade in talent to support John Jaren. But the other thing is that the Grizzlies are also moving money for a talent that would allow for them to keep that talent in place for years to come, hopefully. They're able to do this in a way that gives them the controllable talent they seek instead of having to rely on free agency. So what I'm getting at is that the advantage that the Grizzlies have with their veterans in allowing for them to use those veteran contracts to hopefully put enough money together to get a star over at least the next 18 months is that you're taking present value of veterans and making and molding it into an offer with your picks and young players that will bring back a value that will have far more significance going forward. And that's the type of evolution you need to see from the Grizzlies organization. So the fact that the Grizzlies have signed players like Kyle Anderson, Jonas Valanciunas, made a trade for Gorgui Dieng, they've got all these contracts that are highly favorable but also will become expiring when it comes to the veterans over the next 2 years, that puts the Grizzlies in a great position to take assets that have a lot of their value in the present and put them into a trade offer that will result in getting a value that's going to have a lot more significance going forward. So that's why the Grizzlies are in a very good position when it comes to putting a trade together for a truly significant star. They've got the picks, whether it be their own or it be others that they've acquired over the past few years. They've got young players on favorable contracts, and they've also got good value veteran contracts, players that in and of themselves still offer you know, positive value, and they're going to be expiring contracts in all three areas: money matching contracts, players with favorable young players on favorable contracts, and picks. Those three elements that you have to put a trade together for a star-level type player, the Grizzlies clearly not only have those three elements in place, but they have depth in all three of those areas, and not a lot of teams can say that around the NBA. I'm not saying that the Grizzlies are going to be able to get any star that they want. I'm not saying that the Grizzlies should have the confidence in getting in a bidding war for a star right now. But what I am saying is that this front office has done a great job of putting together the cupboard of future, of present and future assets that it needs to make the big move that you're likely going to need to see this team eventually need to make, if title aspirations are to be a legitimate thing. As I've stated before, with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., with how the NBA changes on a yearly basis, that certainly is a duo that in some way, shape, or form can be a significant part of a championship team. Now, am I sitting here saying that I think that the best, am I sitting here saying that the best player on a potential Grizzlies championship team is currently on the roster? I'm not saying that. I still am of the thought that the Grizzlies are eventually going to have to trade for an established all-star level wing for them to be able to get into title contention 3 to 5 years from now, with Ja and Jaren being the 2 and 3 on that roster. That's not anything against Ja and Jaren. Ja certainly has the capability of being the best player on a roster. But when you look at history, and of course we're getting to the point to where history may start rewriting itself, but when you look over the past 3 or 4 decades, you've got to have a two-way wing at all-star level caliber to really have a chance at winning a title. And the Grizzlies are eventually going to have to find that. I'd love to say they'll find it in the next draft, but it's likely, as we've seen in the recent NBA, the likeliest scenario for the Grizzlies to find that type of talent is to trade for them. My point in showing all these different assets the Grizzlies have is that they certainly have the cupboard of assets to put together a trade package that can gain that star. Now, a lot of these moves that I mentioned, Harden, Holiday, Davis, and George, the teams that traded for those stars, they mortgaged their future. They gave up a lot of draft capital to go get those stars. Are the Grizzlies in the same position to do that as a Brooklyn and an LA and a Milwaukee who has a generational talent already in Giannis Antetokounmpo? Are the Grizzlies in the position right now to do that? I don't think so. Could they eventually be in a position to do that? Possibly, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily want to do that. And so the other thing about having this depth of valuable assets to offer in a trade is that the Grizzlies don't necessarily have to get just a true star. They can get a significant upgrade at a position of need. For instance, going after a Zach LaVine right now or another wing in the future that may not cost the superstar godfather offer that the deals I mentioned have had to offer. But what the Grizzlies could do is simply go and get a lesser star, but then still have future assets to continue building through the draft. And you put together a young core that you see support, like you put together a team that kind of is like a Denver, or that kind of is like a Miami, in that the reason why those teams made it to the conference finals or the finals is because, yes, they developed a superstar, which you hope Ja is, but they also had plenty of depth in a system that maximized their strengths to where they were able to upset and beat teams. That is another way in which the Grizzlies could find success, is making a trade. You know, like, for instance, the Pistons, they signed a Jeremy Grant. Say the Grizzlies were to go make a great signing for a player who in an expanded role really starts performing like an all-star. Well, you've been able to, or they trade for that type of player. You're able to do that with your assets, but still have assets left over to keep building your team. And at the end of the day, that is the biggest thing that I think needs to stand out about this. Though the Grizzlies have plenty of assets in place to go get that star-level talent, right now is probably not the timing because they're just not yet far enough on the competitive timeline to be a true contender. But because of how well this front office has not only done in making its moves, but in building depth through the draft, it's put itself in a very enviable position to where not only can you feel confident in going to get a significant talent that may not be a star, but when they get here, they can start performing like a star. You've also now got the assets to continue making this team. The one thing that stands out about what this front office has done versus our past front offices is that this front office has built the confidence that it will continue to have the resources and the competence to support this team going forward, to keep making it better with the assets that they have in place. So whether that's trading for a star, whether it's a mixture of trading for a significant talent and drafting, or if it's continuing to build towards the draft, while the Grizzlies certainly have afforded themselves the ability to trade for a star if they want it, regardless of how they use the plethora of assets that they have, the confidence is certainly there that they're going to make the right decisions to not only make us an eventual contender, but keep us there for an extended period of time. And the biggest thing of all is they've done what they needed to do to give themselves a very good chance of maintaining Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., the stars that they have right now, the core that they have in place right now for a small market. They've done everything right to allow for themselves to make a variety of different moves to give Ja and Jaren every reason to stay here for the long term and make us as much of a contender as possible. So with whatever happens, I don't anticipate the big move to happen anytime soon. In a year where there's a lot of expectation or where there's a lot of uncertainty, it probably doesn't make sense to make an all-in type move for this year, for over this year and the next year. But when the Grizzlies are ready to make that type of move, they've done everything that they needed to do to be able to do that, to be in on any star that they choose to go after. And if the Grizzlies can eventually land that star, not only are you confident that they can do it, but you're also confident they'll make the most of it when they do. Again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. Once again, we can't thank you enough. This is actually our 701st episode of Locked On Grizzlies. It's been a pleasure being with you over the past 9 months talking Grizzlies, you know, enjoying the Grizzlies. Hopefully we'll get to have them play basketball again, but with whatever the future holds, as this podcast shows, it's just wonderful to be in a position to where we're going to continue making the most of our opportunities as we continue to gain the ability to be a sustainable winner, which is the long-term goal. My name is Sean Coleman. Until next time, hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.